Economic Development Subcommittee meeting to order. Councilman Woods was originally going to run this meeting but has a funeral today and will not be able to make it. So present are Council President Hartley Nagel, Councilpersons Sheldon, Smiley, Cartier, Weiner, and I'm Janet Kilpatrick. God, I saw Lisa. I'm Janet Kilpatrick, co-chair of Economic Development Subcommittee meeting, and with me is Anthony DeFiore taking minutes. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We can't do minutes.
I don't think we have.
We don't have any minutes from ever.
No.
Okay.
I don't know if we had a quorum.
Oh, ever?
Not recently.
Okay. So we set up the Economic Development Subcommittee meeting today for a presentation from Mr. Anthony DePrima, who is the Executive Director of the Delaware Sustainable Energy Utility Incorporated. Mr. DePrima, would you like to take a seat at the head of the table?
Thank you for giving me some time to address the council. I really appreciate it. This is about a new initiative that my organization is taking the lead on. So the Delaware Sustainable Energy Utility is a private nonprofit corporation created by the state of Delaware to bring energy efficiency and renewable energy projects to Delawareans across the board. This program I'm going to introduce to you is an opportunity for the counties of my organization and private financing businesses to bring a new opportunity for financing with private dollars, energy efficiency, and renewable energy projects. And we call this Property Assessed Clean Energy Financing. There's currently a bill in the Senate that would enable us all to work together on this program.
Which Senate?
The Delaware Senate.
Delaware Senate. Anthony is handing out the copy of the bill. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mr. DePrima.
So again, you know, what is PACE? What is the Private Property Assessed Clean Energy Program? It's really a new economic development strategy with environmental benefits, and it's for commercial buildings. So this is known as a commercial PACE program. What it does, in essence, is it secures private investment in energy savings and renewable energy projects through voluntary property assessment. So there's the key. This is a way of taking private financing and turning it into public liens that give it more security. In essence, that's really what this is. And what it does is it helps businesses here in Newcastle and throughout Delaware, if they take advantage of it, helps them with the business's bottom line while also increasing property values of the property. So the kinds of projects it goes for, heating, air conditioning, anything that saves energy, relighting building, water pumps, insulation, solar panels, could be weatherization. This is not something that's totally new. It's about 10 years old. But currently there are 32 states with PACE legislation similar to what we're trying to enact, 19 active programs throughout the United States. So, and interestingly enough, if you look at that map, this is blue states and red states. This tends to be very bipartisan legislation that everybody can get behind, because it doesn't involve any tax dollars. It is completely voluntary. There's no ratepayer dollars. Again, it's a market-based program. And you should know that Maryland has a PACE, and that has an active PACE. A number of counties are involved in the program, including two on the peninsula. So again, the basics are this. It does have to have enabling legislation passed by the legislature. So Senate Bill 113 is on the ready list come this January. Again, the financing dollars, the loan dollars come from private sources. In other states, it's both regional banks as well as investment companies that specialize in doing PACE loans. The county assessment is placed to pay for the debt service, similar to property assessments. So in essence, the county plays a role of being the servicer. Now, some of you were at the Association of County meetings where I gave this presentation, so it's going to look very similar. And the county can collect a fee for providing that service. So the legislation allows for the county to collect a reasonable fee. And again, what makes it unique is this assessment, like all public assessments, survives a sale, including any foreclosures. Very, very important. A PACE lien goes behind a municipal lien or a county lien, but we go in front of the private property mortgage holder, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. And again, future PACE assessments, like any assessment, can be assumed in the future by whoever buys a building. So that function allows these loans to go a longer term, financing, 20-year financing. So why the lenders, why are all these private companies getting involved in making these kinds of loans? It's stronger collateral. There are tend to be lower default rates. Costs can be spread and the benefits are spread to tenants. So this tends to be favored by buildings where there's tenancy in the building. And again, this is opening up new markets to financers. So this is a new niche investment that financing companies are getting involved with. So why would a building owner like this? Well, unlike traditional commercial loans, you can do a 20-year funding, which then allows for smaller debt service payments. Also, PACE allows for 100% financing, so there's no money out of pocket for these energy efficiency improvements. The program requires positive cash flow. The law will require that the debt service for the loan has to be less than the energy savings that the company's going to see. There will always be, or there should be, anytime you invest in a building, particularly if it's new solar units, increasing in property value. PACE transfers on the sale. And again, we've mentioned this, but what's attractive to landlords is that they can share the benefits and the cost with tenants. So it solves what we call a split incentive. So why are mortgage lenders giving consent? Very, very important here. This law requires that primary mortgage holders give consent. So why are they? Why would anybody let another loan go in front of theirs? Well, it makes the lender's collateral more valuable. It improves the cash flow of their clients, so they're better able to pay their mortgage. And the only thing that's collectible in a PACE lien is the assessment in arrears is collectible. So the whole loan isn't callable, just what's in arrears. And then the lender can always say no. So if they don't like the idea, if it's not part of their policy or program, they just don't give consent. So why do local governments like this? Well, it's an economic development strategy. Anything that's helping commercial businesses and real estate owners in New Castle County is economic development. This is also about job creations, solar installers, HVAC companies, lighting companies, electronic control companies that do all of the controls. These are the kind of jobs that are created by these. And then you have the environmental benefits. Basically reduced emissions, air emissions, CO2, from less dependency on electric and more clean gas, clean energy. Again, there's no tax dollars used in this at all. This is private financing. And again, the counties that get involved, it's voluntary on the counties, so you would have to agree to participate. The enabling legislation just allows an opportunity for the county, doesn't require it. But if you choose to get involved, then you can collect fees to support the costs of the building. So again, voluntary is the key here. It's voluntary for local governments to participate. It's voluntary for the borrowers. It's voluntary, obviously, for the lenders. And it's voluntary approval of the primary mortgage holders. And again, in essence, what happens is it's simple. Company makes a loan under this program. The county then puts an assessment on. Annually, the county will assess the company through its tax billing service, or it could be your sewer billing, anything that you do assessments. There's a line item. The borrower pays the county. County collects all the dollars and pays back the lender. So it's a pretty simple servicing process. Again, my organization, my partnership in this is we serve as the program administrator. So we would do the quality control. We would make sure the underwriting requirements are there. We would make sure that the energy savings studies are all in place before we would okay the loan. But no money passes through my organization's hands. It's all between the county, the lender, and the borrower. Again, the county tax offices would do the loan servicing for a fee. Under the legislation, this would only become operational after the SCU and stakeholders develop guidelines, so the detailed program guidelines, and those would also be after a public hearing, and then my board would adopt the guidelines. All of the startup costs for this, developing the guidelines, working with the counties to get their administrative functions set up, we would cover those costs through our other funding. And so we will be there to assist the counties. This legislation is getting pretty wide support. Senator McDowell, who happens to chair my board, is the Senate sponsor, and Representative Trey Pardee down in Kent County is primary sponsor on the House. We had a wide array of organizations who have gone on board to support this, everything from the Commercial Industrial Realtors Council down to the Solar Energy Industries Association, Delaware Valley Green Building Council. We've had the Electrical Contractors Association endorse it, and we have many letters of support from contractors and commercial property owners. What I'm here looking for from Newcastle County as a whole is either support for the legislation or at least, if not support for the legislation, at least an expression of potential interest should the bill be passed. That, Newcastle County may be interested in enrolling this program should you decide that it's in your best interest. So with that, Madam Chair, I will open it up to any questions people have. But I wanted you to make aware of it. I've done this same similar presentation to the county executive, and so I'm laying it before you all to get your advice and thoughts and answer any questions.
And Mr. Smiley.
Okay, briefly, because I know we have another meeting. Just looking at the legislation here that you have, I question number one, if counties do not opt in, how's the funding collected?
So that the program would not be available. If the county doesn't opt in, then a business in Kent County in Newcastle County could not take advantage of it.
Because I'm reading C, where you're saying all the county has to do is basically bill and collect.
Correct.
And draw a fee. But this says if financing is approved either by the SEU or the third party capital provider, require the participating county to levy a benefit assessment on a qualifying commercial property with the property owner in a principal amount sufficient to pay the cost of the improvements.
Right, correct.
So actually, the county would have to do more.
If you're a participating county, it's your option to participate or not. So the role, as I've been saying, the role of the county would be to act as a loan servicer. So you would collect the money and then pay it out.
I understand that, but this legislation goes further. It says that the participating county levy a benefit assessment on the qualifying commercial real property.
Correct.
With the property owner and the principal amount sufficient to pay the cost of the improvements. So we would have to determine what the cost is going to be.
No, the cost is the loan amount. So in other words, that what that means there is you would place a lien on the property equal to whatever the loan amount was.
So if I had a $20,000 loan.
Correct.
And it's for 20 years.
Correct.
Then the role of the counties would be to assess the property so that annually I would pay back
the debt service
over 20 years.
Correct.
And at the end of that time it would be the loan would be cleared and that assessment would then come off of your taxes.
Correct.
And Andrea and Brian are from the county executive's office. Were you in on this presentation previously or not?
Brian Boyle, House of Director. I was not in on the meeting, but the county executive did meet with Mr. Kim. I think Tamara Morris was in on that meeting as well.
Okay.
We'll continue to have conversations. Just to say that I think the objectives of this program, we applaud and we're interested in them. I think there's a lot of details that we need to figure out, especially from the finance department's perspective, to figure out whether we can make this work. But it's something we want to continue talking about.
So if I'm understanding this correctly, if this is enabling legislation coming from the state, then we as a council would have to vote to allow it within our county.
Right. Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. And the details that you're talking about, those are the guidelines that will get that the legislation authorizes us to draft. Once it's passed, we would develop the detailed guidelines through a stakeholder process, and in the legislation the counties are stakeholders. So, your economic development or your finance people would help us participate and develop the guidelines and all the forms that you would use to participate.
So it would just be a line on the taxes, or however we would choose, like a line on your tax bill, just like the light taxes?
Exactly.
That this would be the assessment for the improvement on the property?
Correct.
Hold on one second. Councilwoman Diller has joined us and has been here for most of the meeting. I don't think I, and Councilman Tackett. All right, so I have the president, Smiley, and...
I'll tell you what, drop me. I'm just going to let them work on it, and we'll see what comes back.
Okay, and so Karen, and then John.
Yeah, I just want to ask, if the county chooses to opt in, have you come up with an amount that it would cost the county to implement it, and will we be receiving that from the state?
So there should be no cost to implement. My organization's going to pick up the cost of developing the guidelines and working with your organization to set up whatever software or administrative things that you would need. So there should be no implementation cost to the county at all. The cost of the county will be in servicing the loan, right? Sending out a tax bill, tracking it. That's where you can collect a fee. Those fees would be established through the guidelines and through the agreement. The county gets to set that fee based on what it thinks its cost is going to be.
Just one follow-up. There will still be a cost involved with personnel. So would we be compensated for that? Because there's still a cost that we'll have to pay.
Absolutely. So I think the cost of the compensation for the servicing of the loans would all be, would all be included in what you would develop as your annual fee to participate in the program.
And that would roll into part of the assessment that's paid back on an annual basis.
Yeah, so it's either it's either rolled into the borrowers, or the lender may pay that fee. Mm-hmm. So those are kind of details. Different states do it differently, but at the end of the day, the county gets compensated for their service.
Thank you,
Mr. Cartier.
Thank you. I'm very intrigued by this proposal, and I can say that I was involved in the HVAC industry for a lot of years, and I know that there's huge opportunities in energy efficiency regarding commercial buildings as well as residential, and I think this is a very novel concept. The county currently, just in terms of this kind of role, collects the school tax, so we are kind of servicing that for the state government and school districts, that tax collection program. So it's this concept isn't completely out of the norm for us in terms of the capacity of our finance department to collect another fee or assessment. My question goes to, what is the attraction for the financial industry to have the county involved in this transaction, and what does that do in terms of making this more attractive to them?
So, I think I'm just going to go back. So, sort of help me. So, I think what you're asking is, why would a lender get involved with this? So, generally, the options are any kind of lending. You've got to have security and collateral. And in commercial lending, generally, they're looking for a second position on a property. In the commercial world, unlike the residential world, it is often very difficult to allow a second mortgage on a property. It's hard to do that. And they tend to be short term. So most commercial loans are 6, 7, 5 years, depending on the return on investments of the company. What this does, by making it an assessment, it can roll to the next owner. It doesn't have to be paid off at sale like a traditional loan. So you can actually do these loans for longer periods. So that's attractive to investors. But it's basically stronger collateral, right? It's a kind of collateral. It goes in front of your primary mortgage holder. Because the only thing that gets collected in a default, and the default rates are pretty low, is that... all that's collected is what's in arrears. So it's kind of similar to what you see in tax sales, mm-hmm. where the oftentimes what happens is the primary mortgage holder, because they don't want to lose that property, will just pay it. And so they will pay it as they try to assume ownership of the property. Another thing that's really important here, working with the Delaware Bankers Association, this lien will not wipe out prior liens. So in a tax sale, when you do a tax sale and you satisfy a tax lien, it actually wipes out all the private mortgage liens that are behind it. That does not happen in this case. So it's not what they call a super lien. I'm not sure if I answered your question.
Well, you kind of got into it in the weeds there,
yeah,
but I'm sorry. Just let me interpret back what I hear. The fact that we are able to levy a county assessment to pay for the financing means, in a legal sense, that assessment is prior to a primary mortgage, and it doesn't, other things don't get extinguished because we've got that formal assessment. So our role is to put that, the assessment confers legal advantages to a lender.
Right. Okay. So so what it's doing is it's attracting new capital to energy efficiency projects and green energy projects. So I have a slide. I was told to keep this short. So I have a slide about national investing that shows the many, many, many millions of dollars that are getting invested through PACE loans throughout the country.
Feel free to email.
Happy to be there.
Mr. Weiner.
Yes. Thank you for bringing this before us. I'm interested in knowing what recourse is available to the owner or subsequent owner concerning queries about the assessment, the validity, the amount of the assessment.
So because this is an assessment, it would show up in any kind of title search. So if
I understand, but how does a property or like another assessment, would he go before the assessment review board? Let's say a subsequent owner doesn't, you know, he buys it subject to the lien, and then he or she or it doesn't agree with the amount of the assessment. Is there any recourse for a subsequent owner in the chain of title?
Right. So when we say an assessment, it's really important to hit home that
there has to be a rational nexus.
Well, it's not an assessment in the sense you're sending an appraiser out there to assess something.
It's the cost of
the loan.
Yes.
And so whatever would be left at the...
But there's a processing cost to the county, and, you know, bureaucracies can grow. So, perhaps additional costs, let's play devil's advocate, are being added to the processing that an owner may not feel are legitimate or directly related to the actual user fee. How would a subsequent property owner in the chain of title question that?
So I think the questioning would be happening at the time of the sale. So I think it's a sort of an eyes wide open transaction. The buyer would know that there's an assessment on it. The buyer would understand what the debt service is, the annual debt service, and the buyer would understand what the county's assessment fee is, or I shouldn't say the assessment fee, the service fee is. And so I think it's a buyer beware. He either goes forward with the purchase, or the other option, you say, I don't want to assume this. The loan, before I buy the building, you need to pay off your loan and take the assessment off.
Okay.
So there's the option. You can either, like traditional loans are always paid off before the property sales. And here there's the option. So the buyer can either assume the responsibility or they can require that it be extinguished before.
I'm a recovering land use real estate attorney,
okay,
so I have to.
Okay,
good,
so you understand this, yes.
He's not quite recovered, but that's right. Any other questions from council? Mr. Cartier.
And to be clear, you know, the reason why a building owner would invest in a program like this is because they are able to pay the cost of the, hopefully, the cost of the improvements, energy efficiency improvements, out of the energy savings that they realize as a result of implementing that.
Correct.
That plan of energy savings. So everybody wins all the way around the table, potentially. But, of course, you know, the devil's in the details, and to really understand, you know, where the costs lie for the county and where potential problems might be arising, we need to really vet that pretty closely.
And I would assume, Brian, that as you go forward with this and kind of pay attention, that you will keep us informed if and when you, on the executive side, make a decision that you would like to go forward. We would kind of like to be kept in the loop on all of this.
Yeah, Brian Boyle, Policy Director of the County Executive. What we can do is, I think there's been a request for us to endorse or support the legislation. If we make that decision, I'll update council. And then I think as a second step, if the state legislation passes, we have to come back for county council.
Correct.
An ordinance.
Correct.
So absolutely, we keep the communication line open.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Mr. Cartier?
You mentioned this is targeted commercial buildings. What about nonprofits?
Any kind of, I should have said, it's really, it's a non-residential. So a nonprofit building that is creditworthy and pays taxes, then they can do it. I got the question from the Newcastle County Council, what about a nonprofit that doesn't pay property taxes? And the answer is, well, this is truly an assessment that the county gets to place. So they may not be getting a tax bill from the county, but that's not to say that a lien couldn't be placed and they could get a bill from the county. So the county has some nonprofits that don't pay taxes, and there are those that do. The only thing that this isn't qualified is for single-family residential. This would be good for apartment buildings as well.
And I, you know, I appreciate you passing out the piece of legislation, the Senate bill. I don't think that any of us obviously have had a chance to read this, and I think that we will, and it will give us a better idea of what the state is looking for. So if, do I have any questions from the public or comments?
I do have a question. Do you have a small
state your name, please?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Erin Goldner, Hope Street, BE. Do you have a small-scale, large-scale examples, like, say, in the California range, what they've done with this opportunity, like, what it looks like, not just the panels on the ground, like, what's the environment around panels look like? Small scale, large scale.
If you give me your card, I'd be happy to.
Okay.
There's an organization called Pace Nation, which is spreading the word all over the country, and they have some great slides and stuff. So, well, I'm not that. Oh, I'll meet with you.
Okay.
I'm not that sophisticated. You'd have to give me a paper card. I just want to answer the one question. So I did find a slide, and I'll get this to everybody. But as of the end of 16, there was 1,020 projects financed nationally, and about $340 million in PACE investing. Now keep in mind, can't see this very well, but you can see it's a chart that goes skyrockets. These programs just started in 2009. So they're only 8 years old and growing quickly and spreading quickly around the country.
Any other questions from council? Mr. Smiley.
Very quickly, just to the administration, recognizing how things can change and how the state legislature can work. Please keep an eye on Senate Bill 113 to make sure there aren't any changes to change it so that the county will or must.
Yeah. Mr. DePrimo, thank you.
Thank you very much.
I certainly appreciate you coming. It was good to see you again. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Next meeting in 2 minutes.